I'm going to be preaching today from the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 7, 1 verse, verse 25. God is able. Amen. Keep that little word in your mind as we go through this today, the word able. And we read here in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Throughout the Bible, we are told numerous times with numerous examples that our God is able. But how is God able? What is God able to do? For one, God is able to deliver his people from any situation. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were about to be tossed into the flames of the fiery furnace, they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O King." And surely God did deliver them. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly, according to 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And that's exactly what God did when he delivered Lot. The angel of the Lord took Lot by the hand and delivered him out of the wickedness and the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He delivered Noah from the flood. He delivered Israel from Egypt. He delivered Daniel from the mouth of the lion. He delivered the disciples from the storm and the apostles from prison. And folks, I want to tell you today, our God, whom we serve, he is able to deliver us. He has delivered us, and he will continue to deliver us in the future. God is not only able to deliver his people, but our God is able to lead his people safely home. Look at this. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to bring you faultless and joyful before his glorious presence. Our God is able to give us overflowing, abundant grace. Our God is able to do more than we even expect or imagine. Our God is able to keep what we've committed to him. Here's the proof from God's word. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. For this reason I also suffered these things, Paul said. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day. These are just a few examples of what our God is able to do. But the one I want to focus in on this morning is the text that I began with in Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also, aside from everything else I've already said, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. These words also remind me of the words of the prophet Isaiah, when Isaiah proclaimed, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear." Folks, I want to tell you today that the God we serve is the living God who saves us, who hears us, who makes intercession for us. It was about four decades ago when there was a tragedy that took place in Las Vegas. And this may jar your memory, but I was thinking about this for this message today. You might remember when the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas caught fire. Anybody remember that? I'll never forget, because when that hotel caught on fire, fire trucks from everywhere came all over the area. The first responders were great. They got there and really quickly. The problem was the equipment. The fire trucks were equipped with ladders that were too short to save anyone above the 10th floor. And so 85 people perished who otherwise could have been saved if the ladders were able to reach higher. I share that with you today because our God has no such limitation. But he didn't reach up to save us. He reached down to save us. His ladder extended down into the fires of hell to save us. Amen. When Jesus said it is finished on the cross, he gave his life. He shed his blood on the cross. When he said it is finished, the veil over the Holy of Holies was rent in two from top to bottom. It was God signifying that he was reaching down in grace and mercy to us to save us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus was God's extension ladder to save us. He said that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go into the Father except through him. But here's the thing. It's not a ladder that we have to climb through good works and anything that we do. It's his grace and mercy that's been extended to us if we will believe on him and receive his grace into our lives. I want to suggest to you today three ways that Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. Number one, Jesus is able to save to the uttermost from the curse of sin. Therein lies the problem, the curse of sin. Sin brings death. Sin is the problem. Sin brings a curse, but Jesus is the answer. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. You see, the curse was there at the beginning in the garden where Adam and Eve sinned. And sin brought the curse. And we read in Genesis chapter 3, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And so, that's what the problem was. Sin brought a curse. But here's the good news today. God already had a plan. Even there in Genesis 3:15, God proclaimed that the seed would come. The Messiah was going to come. And one day, the Messiah would come to reverse the curse, to take care of the sin problem. I want to tell you today, I need to move on to the second part of this message. But here's the good news today. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost from the curse of sin. That's what I mean. And here's the second thing I want to say today. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost from the control of sin. And this is where the faith
faith of many begin to break down. This is where the faith of many begins to weaken. Because while they believe that Jesus is able to take care of the penalty of sin, they're not quite certain that he can take care of the pollution of sin. But folks, here it is. Look. No one who is born of God will continue to sin. That doesn't mean that you'll never, ever sin. We know that. What does this mean? It means that you're not going to be an habitual sinner. You're not going to continue on in habitual sin. Why? Why don't you just go on sinning? Because you've been born of God. That's why. Anybody remember the sermon from last Sunday? I thought it was halfway decent, but... What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? There is such a sickness with these people. Everything. The more we sin, the more grace we're going to receive. The Apostle Paul said, God forbid. Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? How many of you know there's power in the blood? Isn't there power in the Holy Spirit to equip us to live for God? I was thinking of the situation that happened in the Gospel according to John chapter 8 where the woman was caught in a very act of adultery. I can't even imagine the shame and the humiliation. And they brought her, they threw her before Jesus. And Jesus started doodling, writing on the ground. And he said, he who is without sin, let him be the first to cast a stone. And they all left. And then we read in John chapter 8. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, No one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, Neither do I condemn you. Aren't you glad for that today? But here's the problem, folks. A lot of people want to put a period right there. Just end it right there. Where Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. But there are five other words. And they are extremely important. What are they? Go and sin no more. In the first Adam, the curse of sin came and we die in the curse of sin. In the second Adam, Jesus, we live in the blessing of the blood. I'll tell you today, there's power in the blood to forgive all sin, to cleanse us from all sin. And there's power in the Holy Spirit to enable us to live for God even in the midst of a wicked, sinful world. If we're willing to allow God to work in our lives. I want to tell you the true story of Mel Trotter. True story. From 1900 to 1940, 40 years, Mel Trotter operated a gospel ministry where hundreds and hundreds of people were rescued from the dregs of sin. But I want to tell you the story before Mel Trotter became a Christian. Before he became a Christian, Mel Trotter was absolutely 100% addicted and enslaved to alcohol. So much so that when his wife gave him money to buy life-saving medicines for her infant son, he went out, he got drunk. He used the money for alcohol. When he sobered up and came back home, his infant son was dead. And then at the funeral service. A friend of the family with means bought the child a beautiful outfit, including shoes, for there in the casket. And Mel Trotter, so addicted to alcohol, he leaned over the casket, he slipped the shoes off of that child and sold them for whatever he could get to buy alcohol. But one day, Mel Trotter hit bottom. This is a true story. You can read it for yourself. Up in, the mission was up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And one day, Mel Trotter, when he hit bottom, he was trudging along. He was walking toward Lake Michigan. And he had already decided, I'm going to end it all. I'm going to end it all. And while he was going along, he was drunk, lost, hopeless. He passed by a gospel mission. He heard some music. He turned aside. He went inside. He heard the gospel. And he got gloriously saved. And then had 40 years of a great mission, gospel mission ministry. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because Mel Trotter's favorite saying was that Jesus saved him from the guttermost to the uttermost. That's what Jesus is able to do. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. A lot of people today are deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. I'm giving you, this is God's word. You believe the Bible. But here's why I'm reading it. Look at this. And such were some of you. Some of you right here this morning, including myself, we might have been one of these. And such were some of you. What happened? You were washed. You were sanctified. It's just not saying the sinner's prayer and waiting for heaven to come. God does a sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. He empowers us. We were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I want you to understand this word, uttermost, before I go to my final point this morning. Uttermost means completely. Maybe the Bible you have uses the word completely. Completely. Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save completely from the curse of sin and from the control of sin. And here's the last point I want to share in this message today. Jesus is able to save, praise God. He's able to save to the uttermost from the consequences of sin. And yes, there are consequences. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But here's the good news today. When I talk about Jesus saving to the uttermost from the consequences of sin, one day we are going to be free from the very presence of sin, from the very consequences of sin. God is going to wipe away every tear. There will be no more pain or suffering or sorrow. All evil will be gone. Death will be swallowed up in victory. And the sting of sin will no longer be able to infect us with its deadly poison. Aren't you glad for that today? And it's all because of the cross. That we have the hope of heaven. And we look forward one day to be free from even the consequences of sin. Look at this. I hope this brings encouragement to your heart. Therefore, it's Since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are. And yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let me give you a life application here. I have another 3-point sermon right now. It's going to be very quick. 3 things as I come to a close in this message today. Number one, God is not willing that any should perish. Do you believe that? God is not willing that any should perish. That's what his word tells us, 2 Peter 3:9. He wants everyone to come to repentance, to saving faith. There is no one beyond the scope of God's redeeming grace and his mercy. Secondly, Jesus intercedes for us. We should intercede for others. This is very important today, because people need a go-between. Jesus was our go-between. He's our mediator. That means an intercessor stands in the gap. God is looking for people to be repairers of the breach and watchmen on the wall. There's a very sad verse in Ezekiel 22 verse 30 where it says that God was searching for someone to intercede, someone to stand in the gap, and he could find no one. God help us. We may be the only link. We may be the only Bible someone ever reads. We may be the only person that's praying for that person. We need to be intercessors. We need to stand in the gap in these days, so that there will be a great revival and many souls will be won into God's kingdom. And here's the last thing I want to say today. Jesus gave his uttermost for us, didn't he? He gave everything. He gave his uttermost for us. We should give our uttermost for him. How? Do you love him today? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And your neighbor as yourself. Then therein lies the key. Praise God. Number two, praise him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Are you praising him today? Are you loving him? And then obey. Obey and serve him. The Bible says, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. God gave everything that he could give to us. I love that verse in Hebrews 7:25, because Jesus is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Are you willing to come? Will you come to him?